tell anyone in our culture today to submit and to yield to God, and they're going to tell you to go fly a kite. Because submitting and yielding to God is not the popular thing to do. But we're not looking to do the popular thing. We're looking to do the godly thing. We're looking to follow God and to wave the torch and to take the gospel and to take His word and to shine it in the darkness. Because as we talked before, God's word, no matter how dark the area is, the word of God and the light of the gospel will always, always, always overcome the darkness.
And I want to welcome you to another broadcast of This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all these broadcasts are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. Today we're going to be looking at part 3 of The Cure for Worldliness and Idolatry. And so we pray right now that you'll take your Bible and turn to James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, and let's see what God's Word has to say.
Here we are at the third component, and it's one that's equally as pivotal. And it simply says this, as I read it all in context, James 4, 7 through 10, therefore, in light of what was just said in the previous text, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, where we are this morning, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And all of God's people said, I'll tell you what, drawing near to God, when you look at that from the original language there in the Greek, it's really simple what it means. It means this: to approach, to pursue, or for one to join another together. To draw near to God, to pursue, to approach. And let me just ask the rhetorical question out loud here, and it's this. Are you and I, if we're really honest today, are we really attempting to draw near to God? Are we really attempting to pursue God? Are we really attempting to draw near and to approach and to bring Him and us together? Are we really, really hungry to the point that we want to pursue God with all that we are? Are we pursuing and approaching Him with our whole might and our soul and our spirit and our mind and all that we are? Do we get up each day going, ooh, I get to go pursue God today. Ooh, I can't wait. I get to go approach God. I get to come into His presence with joyful singing and a glad heart. I can promise us all this, that the devil, the diabolos, Satan, that accuser of the brethren that we speak of, wants you and I to not draw near to God, but he wants us to draw near to ourselves. He wants us to believe that we're self-sufficient. He wants us to believe that we can do it on our own. He wants us to believe that we don't need to turn to anyone for help, and that we'll get through life. And yeah, we're going through a struggle, we're going through a crisis, but don't turn to God because He's this person of rules and regulations and your life's just not going to be fun. Well, we know that's a lie from the pit of hell, because when you and I turn to self and we turn through inwardly and we become very prideful and we think we can do it and we're self-sufficient, we are on a hopeless path to nowhere. We are on a dead-end street that will never lead to where we need to go. We need to start drawing near to God. Drawing near to God is just not the cure for worldliness and idolatry. Drawing near to God is the formula for contentment and peace in this life. Drawing near to God is what's going to get you and I through this life. Because this life is hard. It presents so many challenges and so many difficulties, and we need to be drawing near, approaching, getting in God's presence, because when you and I get in God's presence, that's when He shows Himself like never before. That we empty ourselves and we say, it's no longer about me, it's no longer about my desires and my glory and my agenda, but it's all about God and what He wants to do. When we do that, two things happen. Our hearts are radically transformed. And number two, a lost and dying world starts seeing how great our God is. And that's why it's so critical that we draw near. But draw near to who? Well, it's to God, right? The theos. This is very important, because when you think through this, I mean, you got to listen very deeply and longingly to this holy command and exhortation. This is not a suggestion. Well, if you feel like it, if you've run out of all the other options, and then when you kind of get to the end of your rope, then, yeah, if you feel like it, draw near to God. No, James is saying by exhortation, by command, to draw near to God. He is saying pursue God, pursue His glory. I mean, when you think about this, you think about how holy our God is, and He is so holy. Amen? We just sang, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Isn't this a wonderful statement that we can know, A, there is a holy God, and B, He wants to have sweet communion and fellowship with everyone in this room. I mean, is that just not an awesome, awesome thing that's almost hard for our finite brains to even comprehend? That He is such a loving, long-suffering God, yet still wrathful. But He has a long-suffering nature of holiness that is set apart from evil. And here we are, sinful human beings, and He wants to have sweet communion with you and me. When I draw near to something, let's hypothetically say that, you know, you take a nice 2013 black Z06 Vette, and you set it next to a 1997 Lexus with 274,000 miles. And you put the Z06 here, and you put the 97 Lexus here. What happens when you take something perfect and you put it next to something imperfect? Well, one of the things that happens is that the flaws of the imperfect become greatly magnified. I mean, when you take the black Z06 2013 next to the 97 Lexus with 274 on it, you really start to see how bad the paint is on the old Lexus, don't you? And you open the doors and you see that the foam's coming out of the seats. You take something so holy and you compare it to something that's not holy, if you will, and the flaws are brought out. Here's the beautiful testimony through God's Word, though. That when we draw near to God through His Son, Christ Jesus, He doesn't see the rips in our seats. God sees us as though He sees His Son, and we are as white as snow. That it's almost like we have never sinned as we've been justified. That imputation that we talk about. It's so critical that we see that we draw near. There's an intentionality and there is effort on our part. I get amazed that not visitors, but you know, good church-going people, how few will bring a Bible to church. It's almost viewed as something that's, well, it's unnecessary. It's just something more to carry. Let me tell us all something very quickly on this. This book is not something more to carry. This book is what will carry us through life. That's how vital God's Word is. We need to be packing this thing every Sunday, and we need to be showing up every Sunday going, what's God going to say to me today? How is He going to encourage me? How is He going to rebuke me? How is He going to keep me on His path? There's got to be some effort in this drawing near. We live in a victim society. We live in a blame everyone else society. We live in a give me, feed me society. We need some believers that are willing to pursue God. In order to pursue God, there's got to be some effort on our part to pursue God. I love Psalm 73:28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. Isn't that wonderful? You hear us say this all the time, and we say it not because it's a habit. We say it because it's true, and we're trying to drill it in our heads week after week after week. Everything that we want to do here is to put God's glory on display. We may not be doing the cool thing, but we're going to do the biblical thing. We may not be doing what man wants us to do, but we're going to do what God wants us to do. We're going to put all the consequences for our obedience to God in His hands. That's a great place to live, isn't it? You know why? Because there is peace and contentment when our trust is placed in God. I love this other verse that said here in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart. in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near. Let us approach. Let us pursue. Do you see what the writers are telling us here in God's Word? Being a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ is not passive. I mean, if we really think that we're going to be a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ and be passive and not bear good fruit, we're only fooling ourselves. You go, well, how do you know that? Well, God's Word says it. Faith without works is what? Dead. It's important that we are active, but here's the challenge. Is activity always productivity? And the answer is no. We got to make sure our activity is what God wants us to do. We got to make sure that our activity is drawing near to Him. See, when we draw near to Him, He will give us the marching orders on what to do regarding our productivity. That's why it's so important to intentionally submit ourselves, to reject the evil one, and to draw near to God. Lord, help me to live for You. Lord, help me to live for You. You put me here on this earth. This might be my last day. Help me to live for You in Your glory. Use my talents. Use my gifts to glorify You. Use whatever You want to do in my life to glorify You. Lord, help me to flip my thinking. And You are not here so I get what I want. I am here so You get what You want. And I'll tell you what, you start just processing and living that each and every day. God, His glory, you'll be a changed man or woman. But the only way you're going to get there is if you start submitting to God, rejecting the evil one, and drawing, pursuing, being hungry to be in God's presence. Now, I want to make a note here that we cannot forget this, and this is so critical. Please hear me on this. We cannot forget the path that was paved that gave us the ability to draw near to God. We can draw near to God because of God's grace, because of God's mercy, but because of the brutal death and execution of His one and only Son, Jesus the Christ. That when He went to the cross, when He suffered, when He bled, when He died, when He arose victorious on that third day, and He conquered death, He conquered sin, He conquered the grave, do we understand what happened? It literally opened up a whole new path that we have now direct access to draw near to God. We don't have to go back to the old system of sacrificing and the priests and all that. We go through our one high priest, Jesus the Christ. It says this right here when you look at this in God's Word, and there's two different translations that I'm going to show you, but listen to what it says. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly, or in a different translation, here's what it says, draw near. Draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We got to understand this, that God has delivered us. God has liberated us. God has granted us. He has paved the way that we can have victory in this life through His one and only Son, Jesus the Christ. And He did that. And when that veil was torn, we now have access, direct access to the Father. But there is a word of caution here. We know from Scripture that there will be wolves in sheep's clothing. We know that there will be wolves that will rise up from among us, the text says. They don't come from the outside, they come from the inside. And what happens is here, someone's not getting their way, and they want this, and they want that, and they want preeminence, and they want to drive the bus. And before you know it, the team approach has been thrown out the window, and it's become me, 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 as I draw myself to us, us, us. And here's what God's Word says about that in drawing near. Isaiah 29:13, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to Me with their mouths and honor Me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts from Me, and their fear towards Me is taught by the commandment of men.
You are listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Please make a note that all of these broadcasts are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. Let's now go back to the second part of this message, and let's see what God's Word has to say.
one of the greatest things the devil wants to do at this church and any other church is to raise up a pack of wolves to cause dissension and discord. And when you trace back why the wolves did what they did, it's always the same answer. Pride and insecurity. And that's why it's so important that we understand as we draw near, we got to do it out of a pure heart. If it's just lip service to God, it's not real. Another text here says this, that goes on Matthew 15:28. Jesus says, these people draw near to me with their mouths, here it is again, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He's quoting that in Isaiah. And it's so easy to cross over that center line. I've seen it happen over and over with good people with good intentions. Let the pride and the insecurities of heartache and pain of their past, of their growing up, get involved in their lives. And this is what happens. When you always encounter someone that's prideful and insecure, it's one of the most dangerous, toxic mixes you will ever encounter. It will destroy. That's why we got to draw near to God to get rid of those attitudes of our hearts. My hope and your hope, it's truly not in this world. Our hope and our security is in Jesus. If we're looking for anything else to prop us up, it's going to flop. But when we rest in God, and I know in a group this size, there's been people that have been greatly damaged, greatly wounded, greatly hurt. But unless we get off this road called pride and off this road called insecurity, the damage that you and I will do can sometimes be irreversible. That's why it's so critical that we draw near to God, that we pursue God, that we pursue God. And as the evil one is going, what about you? What about you? What about you? What about the pain? What about the heartache? Your parents were never there. Your dad never told you that you were good. All these things that go on in life, that's when you go, you know what? I'm going to break the cycle. I'm not going to repeat the cycle. I'm not going to look for the applause of man. I'm going to look for the applause of God. But He's my audience of one. And if we really understand the Christian life is not about getting kudos here. It's about getting kudos there. It's about God saying, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Because the Christian life is really about how many of us can race to the shadows of the cross. That we can race to get in those shadows and say, oh, I don't want anything directed towards me. That's what we pray all the time around here. Lord, don't let us be seen. If people see us, if people see the preacher or the song leader or the Sunday school teacher, we ultimately fail. But when they see God, we win. And that's when people's hearts are transformed and set anew. But if we're really going to draw near to God, it's going to get really ugly for the first few moments. Because to get in there, when we draw near to Him, just like that shiny vet in that awful Lexus, when we first start getting right up against God and His glory, my sin becomes magnified. And I have to get in there and start rooting out these things that I've been neglecting, some of us maybe for years, that have been buried since childhood, and we haven't been able to deal with. Or we haven't been wanting to deal with, rather. And we've suppressed. They're rearing their ugly head. And if we really step back and look at our lives, some of us were like, oh, good grief. What have I become? But here's great news. We can draw near to God today. And He stands there and He says, come to me. Come to me with your trash. No. Don't go back in the bag and get more trash. Give me your trash. Give me your wounds. Give me your pain. Give me your heartache. But here's the deal. We got to give it to Him. And if we're not willing to get in there and to give it to Him, we can never truly be healed. Some of us are older in age and maybe we haven't dealt with this from years past. Some of us are middle-aged and we're still bearing the brunt of those that have hurt us. It's time to let go. Satan wants you to hang on. He wants you to hang on for dear life to that trash bag. He wants you to hang on to not let go, to be bitter, to be unforgiving. It is time to let go. Because when we let go, that's when God starts healing. That's when revival and renewal comes. That's when the homes get brought back together. That's when churches get mended. That's when churches start growing. That's when things start happening, when we got the guts to confront our pain. But it's going to hurt. But I promise all of us this, that the loving arms of our Savior, as we confront that pain, will far surpass any pain that we experience simply because of His loving arms. I was thinking through this and just had to ask myself a question going on to the next point, and that was this. What will happen when we draw near to God? It's not a trick question. Here's what it says. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Another beautiful promise. We've heard two wonderful promises in 2 weeks. Resist the devil and He will. It's emphatic. It's not He might. We're not crossing our fingers. He will flee from you. Here it is, part two. Draw near to God, and it's emphatic. It's a promise from God's Word. It will encourage you today. If you draw near to Him, if you get in there and do that heart surgery and root out these attitudes of the heart, these idols, God's going to draw near to you. That even though you're going through the struggle and you're going through the pain, and the family's in shambles and your life is in shambles, you're asking God, why am I not going anywhere in life? Well, maybe you haven't dealt with the issues in the hearts. And you start dealing with the issues in the heart, and that's when God starts drawing. He starts pursuing. See how this works for you guys in the business world? What do we call this? This is an upfront contract, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about? If you do this, then the other party will do that, right? If you draw near to me, God says, oh, I'm going to draw near to you. I'm going to draw near to you in a way that you could never imagine. I made a note here, and listen closely. When we draw near to God, we begin to see the illuminating work, that illuminating work of the Holy Spirit in action. And let me tell you this, when God starts working, when His Holy Spirit is working, I love this. Two things happen from God's Word. Number one is this, He abides in us. But number two, He also overshadows us. And praise be to God. Amen. One of my greatest prayers here at Man Abbey Baptist Church is this. That in everything we do, God in His glory would just overshadow us. We look like we had actually nothing to do with it. I mean, we are so overshadowed, we're so in the shadows, that it's just God. That people wonder, what's going on over there? I hear the Holy Spirit's working and I hear something's going on in South Tampa. What's going on? And we just go, oh, God's overshadowed us. We just start exalting God. He just started overshadowing. We got in the crevices of our hearts, started dealing with things that haven't been dealt with in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And we started putting them on the table. God started healing. The broken became mended. Relationships, son and daughter, husband and wife, family, grandparents. God just started doing the work because He just overshadowed. And when God overshadows, oh, He gets the glory. And guess what happens? A lost and dying world says, how great is that God? I love what John writes here in 15:4-5. Abide in me and I in you. That's wonderful, isn't it? That the branch cannot bear good fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you. Unless you abide in me, Jesus says. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Amen, 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 right? Do you see how important this is that we deal with these attitudes of our hearts? If you're here today, if I'm here today, and we simply think that an idol is just some little statue in some foreign land, Satan has you and me exactly where he wants us. But when we know that there are attitudes in my heart that got to be removed, and there's attitudes in all of our hearts that we got to look at and say, Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Am I overshadowing you, God? Am I overshadowing you with my agenda and I'm pitching a fit because I can't get what I want and I'm causing chaos and havoc everywhere I go? All in the name of Jesus. And I ask this question, two questions here. Number one, do you and I desire to rid ourselves of idolatry? That's the first question. Do we really desire? Are we hungry? Is that our heart's cry to remove that idolatry? Number two is this. If so, are we really willing, I mean really, not lip service, but really willing to pursue, to approach, to draw near to God today? What are three things that you can do, that I can do today to draw near to God? Number one is this. Understand that Christ is the only way for you to have direct access and draw near to the Father. We live in a culture today where all roads supposedly lead to heaven. Can I give us all a newsflash? Wrong. Only one path to God, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two is this, to be in intimate prayer and communion with God. You want to draw near to God today? Understand first that it's the blood-stained path of the cross and the empty tomb that gets you to go to God. But number two is this, have intentional, intimate communion with God and get really honest, get really open, get really transparent. And then number three, what is it? We get deep, 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 not once a week at 10:45, but we get deep, deep, deep into God's Word. And you get in this book and you start digging and you open it up and you say, Lord, I don't have many degrees, but I do know this, that you're God and I'm not. Now speak to my heart. And can I promise you from personal experience, God will speak to your heart. He will show you things that you've never dreamed before, good and bad, as He encourages, as He rebukes. But if we're really going to draw near to God, we got to go way back and deal with the hurt and the pain. Because as long as we hold on to the hurt and the pain, we will never move forward. Never. Just like the prodigal son, right? Prodigal son. Give me, give me, give me. Dad, I know you're not dead, but you know what? You might as well be. Because I want my inheritance now. And in this culture, Dad, that means you're dead. Give me, give me, give me. The Father's gracious and He gives. The Son starts to be humbled, starts dealing with his past, if you will, and his pride and his arrogance. And don't you love this? That Father was so loving and so long-suffering that He sat on that porch, and the text says that He looked longingly. And He looked and He saw the Son. The Son that basically spit in His face and said, you're as good as dead. Give me, give me, give me. And it doesn't say this, that the Father waited for the Son to get to Him to apologize. The Father could see Him from a ways off, and He gathered up His garments, and He ran. And He ran, and He ran, and He ran to the prodigal son. And He ran towards him, and He ran towards him, and He kissed him, and He said, kill the fatted calf, for my son that was lost is what? Now found. He was dead, but now he's alive. Don't you see what God does for you and me? That He sits on that porch and He goes, I know you got that pride and insecurity and all those wounds in your heart from years past, but come back to me. Don't say, give me, give me, give me. God says, cry out today and say, make me, make me, make me. Make me one of yours for your glory. And God's answer is always, kill the fatted calf. For my son and daughter was lost, but now they're found. They were blind, but now they can see. They were dead, but now they're alive.
You have been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all these broadcasts are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you've been blessed by the teaching of God's Word through the This Day in the Word radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@thisdayministries.org. That's info@thisdayministries.org. Or you can write us at This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida, 33508. That's This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida, 33508. Thanks again for tuning in today. We pray that you've been encouraged and blessed through the teaching of God's Word. Now let's all go out this day and let's go make a difference for Jesus the Christ.